All right, let's open to Luke chapter 11. Some really good lessons that we can learn from this. He, of course, when he started there in verse 37, he talking to the Pharisees and then to the lawyers about what sincerity means, about what being real and honest followers mean. And the Pharisee was just couldn't believe that Jesus hadn't washed before dinner, because to the Pharisees, their traditions had gotten massive. I mean, they just had thousands and thousands of traditions. If we get to it, I'll read a few later. But they had so many traditions where they had taken something good, some principle that God had given them in the law of Moses, and made all kinds of rules based upon that teaching. Things about, especially in Leviticus, talks a lot about being unclean and not being defiled. Well, God said what the specifics were, but what the Pharisees had done, they had taken that and added all kinds of things to that. That was never a part of the law of Moses. Things like one had to wash before dinner, that was a religious requirement. So those are the type of things that they had made up that they thought made the law of Moses better. Well, of course, it didn't make the law of Moses better. All it did, and he's really going to denounce them in a little bit, all it did was just make a whole bunch of burdens to put on people. Oh, I got to remember to wash my hands. Oh, I got to remember to do this. Got to remember to do that. And it was never part of the law of Moses. God had never told him to do it. So Jesus came back, as we talked last week, about you need to be concerned not about washing your hands. You need to be concerned about washing what's inside of you. That's what you need to be concerned about. He says, don't be so concerned about the outside of the cup, because inside you're full of extortion and wickedness. He says, you've got to clean the inside. The outside of your body, not very important. The inside of your body is critical. He then talked to him about, you tithe all these little plants and everything, which was good that they did that, that they were concerned, but he says, you're forgetting about justice and the love of God. They were forgetting about justice and the love of God because that's hard. So it's very easy to raise mint and know how much 10% of that is. Okay, I know 10% of these plants goes to God. That's real easy. I can divide it into tenths and give to God. Duty's done. He says, that's the kind of thing you do. You do the easy stuff. But the hard stuff, like being just and loving and so forth, you completely leave undone because you can't give a tenth of love. You can't be 10% just. So it was way too hard for them to give 100% for justice and love. And so they just completely ignored it. He also talked to them about their egos, their pride and their arrogance, about wanting to have the prominent seats and the greetings in the marketplaces. The prominent seats there comes from the word we get cathedral from. They wanted the cathedral was like the main seat where the teacher or the most important, most prominent person sat. And that's where they wanted. They wanted everybody to see them. And so he talks to them about their ego and how they need to be concerned not about their ego. They need to be concerned about other people. He says, you love greetings in the marketplaces. And one of the other times Jesus teaches about this, he talks to them about, oh, you want to be called rabbi, and you want to be called this, and you want to be called that. And there's still kind of that problem in the religious world today. You know, people want to be called pastor or reverend or father or whatever. And Jesus always denounces those type of titles, religious titles. Then the last thing he told them was about, you're like unseen graves who the men walk over and they're not aware of them. The Pharisees, by making all of these traditions and rules, were actually driving people away from what God wanted them to do. They were defiling people, if you will, by not teaching what was right. So, you know, you think you're so careful about being defiled. In reality, you're the worst source of defilement there is. You're defiling people because you're not teaching them God's Word. You're teaching them your own opinions and traditions. And that's making them defiled. That's making them unclean. So he had an awful lot to say to these Pharisees. Well, beginning in verse 45, says one of the lawyers answered, "Teacher, by saying these things, you insult us also." Well, the lawyers are saying, well, you've kind of threw a rock and hit us now too. You've insulted me by what you've said. You've insulted me, you've hurt my feelings. Now, Jesus didn't apologize. I noticed that. Truth was always the most important thing because, as Jesus taught, that was the only thing that could set them free, is the truth. So that always had to be the most important thing. And feeling good about yourself never set anybody free. So Jesus was very, very concerned because these Pharisees and lawyers were headed toward torment and condemnation. So making them feel good about how they were living was the last thing they needed to hear. They needed to hear the truth that they were headed in the wrong direction. You've got to turn around or you're going to be lost. So after the lawyer said, "You've insulted us, you've hurt my feelings," Jesus says, "Woe to you also. You're also condemned." He says, "For you load men with burdens difficult to carry, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." That sounds like lawyers today. But these lawyers, these were the people who, of course, they predated the Pharisees by many, many centuries. These lawyers, the word that's translated lawyers here, have been in the time of the law of Moses since practically the beginning. They were the scribes. They were the ones concerned about the law. They were the ones concerned about using the law, interpreting the law, and doing all of that. And so this lawyer was yelping. But Jesus wasn't concerned about the yelp. He says, "Look what you're doing to people. Look what you're doing to people by what you're teaching them. You're giving people all of these terrible burdens." Says, "You've got to do this, you've got to do that." But that's not what God wanted. But he says, that's what you're doing to people. Here's a few of the things that they had made up over the years. The Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers. A Jew was forbidden by scribal tradition from eating eggs on the Sabbath because the hen had to work to lay the egg, and that breaks the Sabbath tradition. See, now they took the Sabbath traditions about not doing work, and they made that have to do with a hen laying an egg. Well, that was the furthest thing from God's mind when he made that tradition. The Sabbath was made for man. That's what it was for. It was for man to rest from physical labor to concentrate on the spiritual things. Well, they couldn't concentrate on the spiritual things because these Pharisees and scribes and lawyers had made all of these ridiculous burdens. So that especially on the Sabbath, people were just, they were so nervous about breaking one of these traditions. Oh, I ate an egg. Well, we see how silly that is. But to the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, eating an egg on the Sabbath was as bad as killing somebody. I mean, that's how ridiculous things had gotten. The only animal that one could kill on the Sabbath was basically what we would call a flea. You could kill a flea on the Sabbath, and that was okay. But you couldn't do anything else on the Sabbath. You couldn't kill any other insects or anything like that. If a wheat offering portion had been stored in a granary, no other wheat could be stored there unless the Jew swept the granary with a certain number of broom strokes. In other words, there were a certain number of times, you know, you had to pass the broom back and forth before it was considered clean. I mean, and it just got more and more ridiculous. And that's what Jesus is denouncing them and condemning them for. You've made up all of this stuff that never came from God. Never came from God at all. And you don't even abide by them yourself. You expect other people to, but you make up loopholes. That's what Jesus is telling them. You lawyers and scribes, you made up loopholes. And that's what they did. And Jesus, in some of the other places, talks about some of these loopholes that they had made up. They expected regular people to abide by these ridiculous rules, but they wouldn't because they came up with their own loopholes. Let's see. This is called the fictitious domicile that they had came up with. A scribe, if he had an important rabbinical journey to make, could pretend he had a domicile every 7/8 of a mile and travel that far, pretend to take up lodging for a few moments, and then travel on another 7/8 of a mile. See, they had came up with this. They wanted to travel further than the 7/8 miles. We say, okay, well, here's the loophole. We'll pretend that every 7/8 mile, there's a place that we live, and so we'll stop there for a minute or two. Well, that'll give us another 7/8 of a mile that we can go. See, it gave them a loophole. Well, that's the kind of ridiculous things that these people made up. And Jesus thoroughly condemned them for that type of religion. He tells them next, you build the tombs of the prophets and your fathers killed them. So you are witnesses and entirely approve the deeds of your fathers because they killed them and you build their tombs. He says, now that's what you're guilty of now. He says, that's what, says you pretend to be concerned about the prophets, but the only prophets you like are dead ones. And that's basically what he says. The only prophets you like are dead ones. One that's in the tombs. Jesus, of course, was a prophet. John the Baptist, a prophet. He says there's living prophets right in front of you, and you despise them, and of course, these are the very people that'll end up getting Jesus killed. So yeah, they like dead prophets, but they sure don't like living prophets, especially living prophets that tell them that they're hypocrites. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear that they're the most religious, spiritual people anywhere. Now, if Jesus would have told them that, things would have been great. But Jesus told them just the opposite. Jesus said, you are hypocrites. And they pretended to be the most religious people there were. Unfortunately, people like that have been in the church and still are. Pretend to be extremely religious, but in reality are the worst of sinners because of their hypocrisy. Because they're just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. Have the same pride, the same arrogance, that they had. And again, these are the people that he's getting ready to say are the ones that will end up putting Christ on the cross. He goes on and says, therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets shed since the beginning of the world may be required from this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it shall be required from this generation. And of course, ultimately, he's talking about the murder of Christ. And he says, it will be required of this generation. And of course, in not too many years, Jerusalem would be totally destroyed. Judaism would be, you know, the temple gone, and all the genealogies and all of that would be destroyed because of what they did to the Son of Man, what they did to the Son of God. And that's what he's telling them is going to happen. It's going to be required from this generation because of what you did, because this generation is the one that's going to kill the Messiah. And because of that, this city is going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. Remember, it's not too much later in Jesus' life that he's going to be... Remember, he's already on his way to Jerusalem. He started on his way to Jerusalem just a couple of chapters back. He's headed to Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen there. But remember, when he gets to Jerusalem, he looks down on the city and weeps. Of course, he's able to see in the future, you know, in 30-some years, it's going to be leveled. Going to be destroyed, every bit of it. And the reason it's destroyed is because those people are going to crucify him on the cross. It wasn't the Romans that crucified him. It wasn't the Romans' fault in that sense. It was the Jews, the people and specifically that he's talking about. Pharisees, scribes, lawyers, the religious leaders who thought they were so special. And he says, it's all going to be taken away from you. Every bit of it. And he ends up by saying, woe to you lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. He says, you had the key of knowledge. You're the one that had the law of Moses. You had God's word, you had all of this, and you're the ones who were supposed to be the teachers of the law, the ones that knew the law. These were the ones that knew about all the prophecies about the Messiah. And he says, all of these things are right in front of your face, and not only did you not believe them, but you've taught other people not to believe them. And again, these were the things that Jesus is denouncing them for. And of course, the scribes and Pharisees and lawyers were all just terribly sorry and repented. No, not at all. As he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to incite him vehemently and angrily draw him out concerning many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. That's what they did. They had an opportunity. Everything Jesus had said about them was true. You know what? Probably deep inside they knew it was true. But they weren't going to give up being the religious elite. They weren't going to give that up. They liked the greetings in the marketplace. They liked the finest seats. They liked people believing they were the really religious spiritual ones, and they weren't going to give that up. So instead, they start looking for a way to kill them. Because they think if they kill them, it's all done, over with, and they won't ever have to do anything with them again, and they can go back to their regular life and things will be great. And it certainly wasn't. So what did they need to hear? They needed to hear the truth. But they didn't accept it. They became very angry and tried to kill him. Well, he's not exactly through with them yet. The next chapter, he still is going to be talking to them about, to the people, the multitudes, about hypocrisy. Because he's going to warn all the multitudes, be careful that you don't follow in the path of the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. But that's chapter 12. Well, our time is definitely up today. Some words that really should cause us to think. Some lessons that should really cause us to think.